Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, August 17th, 2021, Education section. Nursing student loves West Texas hospitality. By Rebecca Bell. Native Jamaican Deviana Duncan loves Midland. However, she said she sometimes misses her family, the ocean, and the bold flavors of the island cuisine. My older sister is a lawyer who's been in the United States for several years, Duncan explained. I've always admired her, and I decided to branch out from Jamaica to experience a new culture as she did. Duncan said that she graduated from high school in Jamaica in 2017 and took culinary arts training. She then worked at a Sandals resort in Jamaica. However, she'd wanted to be a nurse since childhood. Living in Jamaica with tourism being the main industry, learning a trade like culinary arts seemed the appropriate thing to do when I graduated from high school. I always enjoyed cooking and still do, but my dream is to be a nurse. My parents always told us to first learn a skill in order to earn a living and then follow our dreams. That's exactly what I did. I have to thank my family for pushing me to become a nurse and for always supporting my dreams. I would not be here without them. My sister and I were surfing the internet looking for nursing schools one day, and an ad for Midland College appeared. It was like a sign. In January 2020, Duncan moved to Midland and began taking prerequisite courses toward admission into Midland College's associate degree nursing program. She also obtained a job at Midland College, working as a clerk in the resident halls. Everyone at Midland College has been so friendly and supportive. Right after I registered for classes, I had to have my picture taken for my student ID. The lady taking my picture, Jan Johnston, was super nice and asked if there was anything she could do for me since I was a long way from home. She still looks out for me. My hall manager, Peggy Lee, looks out for me as if I am her granddaughter. She's always there to encourage my support and support me. She has been my home away from home. People in Midland are very friendly, warm, and kind. I have met and gained some wonderful friends, and I feel very blessed. Duncan has also met many friends through Bible study classes at Stonegate Fellowship. It was through Stonegate that she was also recommended to assist an elderly woman at her home while she was recuperating from an illness. Mrs. Kramer, whom I helped until she felt better, is still a good friend. I visit with her occasionally, and we bake cookies together. We enjoy swapping recipes and stories with one another. On May 24th, Duncan became one step closer to her dream of a nursing career when she began working as a patient care assistant in Midland Memorial Hospital. Working at the hospital will give me hands-on training in caring for patients. Next week, Duncan will begin her second semester in Midland College's associate degree nursing program and train to become a registered nurse. She said that she wants to pursue pediatric nursing and eventually get a bachelor's degree in nursing, preferably from Texas Tech. I plan to stay in Texas, Duncan said. My older sister has recently moved to Houston, and we both love Texas. The weather's a little weird, but I sure do like the people. Miranda Pogue, Dean of Math and Science at Midland College. Miranda Pogue grew up in Midland and moved back to her hometown 12 years ago when she began teaching biology courses at Midland College. In August 2019, she was promoted to Dean of the Math and Science Division. Originally, Pogue was a music major at Texas Tech, and she soon followed her love for science and graduated with a Bachelor of Science degree in microbiology. She still plays the French horn for enjoyment. Pogue holds a Ph.D. in molecular biology from the National University of Ireland, Maynooth. In her first job as a startup biotech company, she began training others on the use of specialized equipment. This was the first time she thought she might enjoy education. In graduate school, she began teaching biology lab courses. That was when she began to seriously consider a career in teaching. As a Midland College professor, she was able to blend teaching and small research projects, which proved to be the best balance. I was fortunate that Midland College took a chance on me because I was passionate about biology but had limited classroom experience. Cindy Cochran was my mentor when I started MC, and while I am no Mrs. Cochran, she taught me so much about teaching and working at Midland College. Paul Mangum, Thomas Hernandez were always there to help, as well as many others. In short, my favorite thing about Midland College is working with people who care about other employees, the students, and our community. MISD Campus Growth Mirrors Growth in Midland by Stuart Doreen. MISD officials looked at enrollment numbers from last week and noted that the growth on campuses mirrors growth within the community. A Reporter-Telegram analysis of the numbers showed drops each of the last 2 years on the following campuses. And in a number of those campuses, the drop was 5% or more both years. Fewer families with young children are moving into the established neighborhoods around the traditional elementary campuses listed, said Kelly Spencer, MISD's chief operations officer. She said the district also plans to look at the decline in the enrollment in its choice schools. Year-over-year increases happened at high-growth elementary schools, which are home to students in the State Highway 349 corridor, and reported growth from 529 in 2020 to 669 this year. Another increase happened at Idea Travis Academy, where a seventh grade class was added. Midland ISD showed a student population of 26,021, which was higher than September of last year, according to a Reporter-Telegram article. MISD's student population is also 1.3% lower than in September of 2019. Student enrollment for 2019 was 26,183, according to the Texas Education Agency.
This article is entitled Culture Briefs. Summer Mummers cancels local shows. Summer Mummers has canceled this weekend's performances on Friday and Saturday due to the recent spike in COVID-19 infections in the community and in order to keep Midland Community Theater volunteers, patrons, and staff safe and healthy, according to a press release. At this time, there are no plans to reschedule this week's performances. MCT has three options available for ticket purchasers regarding the handling of their pre-purchased tickets and tokens, if applicable. Ticket purchasers may contact the box office at boxoffice@mctmidland.org or 570-4111 from noon to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Friday in order to turn ticket purchase into a donation to MCT, receive a code in order to apply the ticket purchase to a 2022 Summer Mummers ticket purchase, or receive a full refund. For more information, visit mctmidland.org/summer-mummers. ZZ Top Show in Midland still on. After the loss of rock and roll legend Dusty Hill, the ZZ Top Show scheduled for December 12th at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center is still scheduled. Hill passed away in his sleep at his home in Houston on July 28th, according to a Facebook post by the band. The post stated, "We, along with legions of ZZ Top fans around the world, will miss your steadfast presence, your good nature, and enduring commitment to providing that monumental bottom to the top. We will forever be connected to that blues shuffle in C. A longtime friend of the band, Elwood Francis, will be performing on bass. For updates, visit wagner-noel.com. This is the Dear Abby column. Guilt after friend's death calls for self-forgiveness. Dear Abby, my dearest friend passed away 5 years ago. He was a severe alcoholic, and his death resulted from it. I was aware of how bad things had gotten, and I was trying to talk him into getting help. I live across the country, but visited and spoke with him often. I was considering telling his parents how bad things were, since they were mainly supporting him, but I was torn because he was an adult, and I didn't know if it would be appropriate. Well, while I was considering it, he passed away, and I haven't been able to get over the guilt. I feel like I should have done more. I have a strong urge to tell his parents I knew how he was doing and was contemplating telling them, and how sorry I am that I didn't. Would it be selfish, like rubbing salt in their wounds, just so I can find some kind of peace? I've been going back and forth with this since his death. I have such regret that I didn't do something more. I don't know if their forgiveness would help me, or if I'd just be hurting them more. Your opinion on this would be helpful. Signed, Full of Regrets. Dear Full, please forgive yourself and stop second-guessing. You are guilty of nothing more than being a caring friend. The deceased was responsible for his own alcohol-related death. If his parents were supporting him financially, they were already aware their son had a serious problem. Because after 5 years you cannot stop flogging yourself, you have two options. Discuss this with your religious advisor, or ask your doctor or your insurance provider to refer you for some sessions with a licensed psychotherapist with whom you can work through this. Dear Abby, I have had a girlfriend for about 3 years, but I have recently begun to feel indifferent about our relationship. We have to travel at least 45 minutes to see each other and don't always see each other on weekends. I have been trying to convince her to move into my townhome, but something new arises each time I bring it up. Recently, a younger woman, she's 21, I'm 32, showed an interest in me during one of my sports games. I have talked to her and won't let any relationship develop outside of being friends. She's religious and I'm not, and that's a deal-breaker for me. I'm torn between continuing to try to build my current relationship, trying to pursue the new one, or taking a step back from relationships to focus on my personal goals. Any thoughts, Abby? Signed, Pondering in Pennsylvania. Dear Pondering, it doesn't appear that you or your girlfriend of 3 years is really ready to take things to the next level. If you were, you wouldn't be debating whether to trade her in for a newer model. As to the younger one, you just clearly stated that her religiosity is a deal-breaker for you. Your third option makes the most sense. Concentrate on your personal goals for a while, and with time, your love life will work itself out. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate. This article is entitled, Hand Cafe Gives Back to Healthcare Workers Amid Virus Surge. Help Medical Professions Through Donations of Coffee, Notes. By J.C. Lewis. Hand Cafe owner Kate Wolbert has started bringing coffee and support notes to hospital workers at Midland Memorial Hospital, Medical Center Hospital, and Odessa Regional Medical Center again during the COVID-19 surge that is sweeping through the communities and area hospitals. Wolbert said the cafe started bringing coffee to hospital workers about 10 days ago, since Midland Memorial Hospital has reached capacity again due to the pandemic. The cafe takes about 20 to 25 drinks daily to help boost morale among workers. It is important to me that we are bringing them refreshments, and also it's important to raise awareness, she said. We want people to remember, even if they haven't gotten the vaccine, that the hospital is overwhelmed. And so at a time when the community isn't supporting them in a way that would reduce their stress, then at least we can come together and still support them. Donations to help the initiative can be made at the jar at Hand Cafe or via Venmo at Hand Cafe Midland. In addition to donations for coffee and treats, Midlanders can write support notes to hospital workers. Sometimes the trips include bringing treats like brownies or donuts too. Coffee is something that healthcare workers can drink during a busy shift, and it gives them more energy to get through their shift, she said.
Wolbert said Hant Cafe would bring coffee and treats to Midland Memorial Hospital about 2 to 3 times a week during the worst part of last year's outbreak. She said they stopped after things slowed down, but now they have started up again. She has someone from the cafe bring coffees by every day for Midland Memorial Hospital. Then, on the weekend, she tries to bring a load to Medical Center Hospital and Odessa Regional Medical Center in Odessa. If people can't donate money, they can stop by the cafe and write notes of support and encouragement to healthcare workers. Another coffee shop giving back today are the Humane Bean locations in West Texas. Today, Midland and Odessa locations will be celebrating Marley's 4th birthday with a special Princess Marley drink, a frozen hot chocolate with princess sprinkles and swirls. Ask for Marley's drink to help. 100% of the proceeds from Mungia's drink sold that day will be donated to Mungia as she fights neuroblastoma. Donations can also be made in Marley's name in any amount at the Midland and Odessa locations. Patrons can also send birthday wishes to Marley at the shops. Also, tag hashtag MarleyStrong in posted pictures, stories, Snapchats, TikToks, and more. Visit the Human Bean, Odessa, at 4950 East University, or the Human Bean of Midland at 2007 North Big Spring Street from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. More food news. Hook and Reel will be opening a location at 2215 North Midland Drive, Suite 2A, according to the website. The restaurant will open beside the Sherwin-Williams in the Mesa Verde Shopping Center. This will be Midland's first location. The Odessa location is at 5151 East 42nd Street. The menu mostly features seafood boils cooked with patrons' favorite seafood, sauce and spice with extras like corn on the cob, potatoes, sausage, and more. Other options include raw oysters, fried calamari, gumbo, oyster po' boy, catfish basket, lobster tail basket, and more. Food to Kids Sacking will be today from 5 to 8 p.m. at the West Texas Food Bank in Odessa at 411 South Pagewoods Avenue. Volunteers will help sack the backpacks, which will be distributed to more than 50 elementary schools in 5 area school districts. The event will be the first open to community event since March of 2020. Culture, a new food truck, will have a pop-up Thursday starting at 11 a.m. at 312 North Colorado Street. The food truck usually has a pop-up every Saturday at the Midland Downtown Farmers Market. Culture specializes in fried quesadillas and tacos filled with birria, potatoes, chipotle chicken, or chorizo with cilantro, onions, grilled chilies, lettuce, crema, limones, and salsa rojo or salsa verde for toppings. Sister Dough has a new location at 3641 North Dixie Boulevard in Odessa. The gourmet donut shop plans to have a grand opening on August 21st. Wall Street Cochina's second location at Music City Mall in Odessa is now open. Hours are 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 6 p.m. Sunday. Yuengling Beer can now be found at establishments in Midland and Odessa. You can find it at Murray's Deli, Little Woodrow's, Bottoms Up, Buffalo Nickel, Triple Threat Bar, and more. The beer will be in stores starting August 23rd. Yuengling is the oldest operating brewing company in America, established in 1829. It is headquartered in Pottsville, Pennsylvania. This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, August 17th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Myers, You Should Be Scared of Spread, by Caitlin Randall. Midland Health CEO and President Russell Myers on Monday hit back at residents who have accused the hospital of fear-mongering by holding COVID-19 press briefings, saying the community should be scared of how quickly the Delta variant is spreading and overwhelming area hospitals. That's exactly why we should and why we'll do them, People need to be scared, Myers said, while announcing officials would be holding daily briefings. This not only is overwhelming the hospital and our resources, but it's squeezing out our ability to care for people in our own community and in the communities around us who need those hospital beds that are filled with COVID patients. There were 89 COVID-19 patients in the hospital on Monday, up 14 from what officials reported last Thursday, according to Myers. He said there were 16 patients waiting in the emergency department for beds to become available. Myers said that Midland is now a coronavirus hotspot, largely because of the contagiousness of the Delta variant and the low number of Midlanders, 39%, who are fully vaccinated. If you haven't gotten that message and you're not a little bit concerned about what's happening in your community hospital, then you're clearly not paying attention, he said. You should be scared. Officials reported that the hospital was still operating at capacity as it had been for the last couple of weeks. Myers said they received notice from the state that additional nurses and other workers would be sent to Midland Memorial, which would allow them to staff additional beds. The hospital is expecting to receive about 15 critical care nurses, a few medical unit nurses, and a few respiratory therapists on Wednesday, Myers said. He said the extra staff will allow the hospital to add 12 beds by Thursday. Hospital officials are still seeking about 50 nurses, according to Myers. He said they're not sure if the state will be sending any additional help, but they're using their own resources to acquire more traveling nurses. The FDA last week authorized third vaccine doses for immunocompromised individuals, and Myers said Midland Health was preparing to administer shots for those who qualify. Midland Health will also be expanding their testing sites, Myers said. He said more information on testing and vaccine booster shots would be available this week. Midland Health will be holding daily briefings at 9:30 a.m. Monday through Friday. This article is entitled MISD, 288 Staff Students Tested Positive, by Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD has reported to parents that as of Thursday, 288 students and staff members have tested positive since the start of school on August 2nd. The numbers were part of Superintendent Angelica Ramsey's weekly update for parents and staff members. She wrote that the breakdown is 217 students and 71 staff have tested positive. Midland ISD is having the same issues with COVID-19 as the rest of the community. Midland Health has reported COVID positivity rates of 28.4% and 27.6% over the last 2 weeks. There are steps you can take to protect yourself and your family. Please use mitigation strategies that work best for you and your family, Ramsey wrote. She listed the following. The wearing of masks is encouraged. Strive to maintain physical distance when possible and continue frequent hand washing. Get the vaccine if you are eligible, ages 12 and up. We want to remind everyone that we all play a role in staying healthy and keeping our schools open, Ramsey wrote. Ramsey added that the following mitigation strategies are currently in place for elementary school students. No parents will be allowed to walk their students to class. No parents or guests are invited for lunch due to the need for social distancing. Only medication or glasses should be dropped off in the office. No lunch boxes, homework, or items left at home can be dropped off by parents. Students should bring refillable water bottles or bottled water. Birthday treats or classroom snacks are limited to individually prepackaged items. No PTA meetings, performances, or programs will be scheduled for the first 6 weeks. Principals may limit the number of volunteers as needed. At MISD secondary schools, here are mitigation strategies. Visitors are not permitted to eat lunch with students or permitted to deliver lunches from outside sources. Please send your student to school with their lunch for the day, or they may choose a free cafeteria entree. Principals may limit the number of volunteers on campus as needed. Campus events are still permitted. We encourage events to be held outside with masks and social distancing where possible. Ramsey also wrote that the UIL is not currently limiting capacity for spectators at UIL events and that MISD requires that students take a COVID test before overnight travel where they will be sharing accommodations with fellow students. This article is entitled MMH, Positivity Rate Tops 30%. It was the highest weekly rate since at least October, by Stuart Doreen. The COVID positivity rate hit 30.9% last week, the highest at Midland Health testing centers going back to October. The positivity rate takes the number of people who tested positive and divides that number by the total number of people getting tested. Last week, those numbers were 298 and 964. The result was a positivity rate of 30.9%, which beat the 30.1% rate from the week of January 2nd. The rate also was the third straight week over 20%, according to Midland Health. Midland Health also showed that for the first time during this spike of the pandemic, there had been five overall, according to medical officials, that the seven-day occupancy rate topped 35%. That means that at least 35% of the total inpatients inside Midland Memorial Hospital were COVID patients. Midland Health reported the one-day COVID occupancy percent on Monday morning was 44.05%. Lastly, the Midland Health Department finished its reporting of cases from August 1st to 7th and stated on its website that there were 664 cases inside Midland County during the week. That included five straight days, August 2nd to the 6th, with cases over 100. The 664 cases were the most in one week since January 3rd to 9th. August 1st to 7th marked the sixth straight week that cases increased inside Midland County. This article is entitled, Norman is the Lone Filer for District 2, by Stuart Doreen. John Norman's name will be the only one on the November 2nd ballot to represent South and East Midland on the City Council. Norman was the lone Midland resident to file for the District 2 seat. While those wanting to run as a write-in candidate can file with the City Secretary's office by Friday, Norman will be the lone choice with a name on the ballot. Monday was the last day a resident could file to be on the ballot for the Midland City Council elections. Along with Norman in District 2, seven other Midlanders filed for two races. The most crowded race will be for the two at-large seats. Midland voters can vote for two, and their choices will be Dan Corrales, Dustin Johnson, Robin Poole, Spencer Robnett, and Michael Trost. In the race to represent District 1, or North Midland, Scott Dufford will face off with Ross Schumann. The Reporter-Telegram again will have opinion articles from the candidates leading up to Election Day, and Facebook forums are tentatively scheduled for October 12th, District 1, and October 14th, at-large race. It appears three of the four seats on the council will be contested. If no one files as an at-large candidate by Friday, Norman will be guaranteed a full first term. He captured the District 2 seat in January 2020, winning a special election to replace John Love III, who stepped down before his term ended. This is the obituary column, August 17th. Alvin Hall. Alvin Lynn Hall died on August 13th at Midland Memorial Hospital. He was born December 25th, 1928, in Baldwin Park, California, to Amos Lynn Hall and Zella Josephine Bashmore Hall, and grew up nearby in Pomona. Al was preceded in death by his parents, his first wife Norma, and sisters Dorothy Roach and Evelyn Boothby. Survivors include his loving wife Mary Lou, his children Lori Hockett, Kevin, and Greg Hall, two grandchildren, four great-grandchildren. Also surviving him are Mary Lou's children Doug Anton, Carol, Sue Einspar, Phil, Mary Beth Anton, Jeff Hewitt, and 6 grandchildren and 1 great-granddaughter. A memorial service will be held at Grace Presbyterian Church in Midland on Thursday, August 19th at 4 p.m. with the Reverend Cheryl Hampshire officiating. In lieu of flowers, please direct memorials to Grace Presbyterian Church at 2801 North Garfield, Midland, or Hospice of Midland at 911 West Texas Avenue, Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Wells Funeral Home and Crematory. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Dr. Samuel McFerrin. Dr. Samuel Neese McFerrin, Jr. died suddenly on August 3rd at the foothills of the beautiful Teton Mountains while on vacation with his beloved wife, Mary. Samuel Neese McFerrin, Jr. was born in Hartford, Connecticut on September 2, 1950, to Janice Sipple McFerrin and Samuel Neese McFerrin. Sam was preceded in death by his parents. He is survived by his loving wife, Mary Howland McFerrin, daughters Dr. Kimberly Marie McFerrin of Little Rock, Arkansas, Leslie McFerrin Salt Heed, and husband Michael of the Woodlands, the mother of his children, Joan Westervelt McFerrin of Little Rock, Arkansas, stepson Alexander Bradford Hurt and wife Tiffany of Midland, stepdaughter Margaret Hurt Osborne of Midland, sister Laura McFerrin Krause and husband Charles of Phoenix, sister Ann McFerrin Abbey and husband Larry of Schleswig, Iowa, as well as 5 grandchildren and numerous nieces and nephews. Services for Dr. McFerrin will be held at First Presbyterian Church of Midland on August 21st at 2 p.m., with reception to follow at the church. The service will be officiated by Dr. Steve Shore, pastor, and Dr. Amy Butler from National City Christian Church in Washington, D.C. For those unable to attend in person, the service can be viewed via live stream at www.fpcmid.org. If you would like to make a memorial gift in Dr. McFerrin's honor, donations may be directed to the Permian Basin Area Foundation at 3312 Andrews Highway in Midland, or Centers for Children and Families at 3701 Andrews Highway, Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Wells Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Frederick Scott Richardson. Frederick Scott Richardson, 63, of Midland, passed away on August 7th. Frederick Scotty was born May 23, 1958, to Frederick Joyce and Betty Jo Richardson in Midland, where he grew up and lived with his family and friends. Scotty is survived by his wife Rebecca Richardson, his son Shane Ausley, Father Frederick Richardson, sisters Sheila Claiborne and Charlotte Kratke, and their families. He was preceded in death by his mother, Betty Jo Richardson, and both paternal and maternal grandparents. A memorial service will be held at a future time. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Wells Funeral Home and Crematory. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Gary Patrick Pat Day. Gary Patrick Pat Day, 77, of Portland, Texas, passed away on Saturday, August 7th. A private family graveside service will be held on Friday, August 20th at Rest Haven Memorial Cemetery in Midland. A celebration of life will be held in Portland, Texas, in October to reminisce life's pathway with Pat. Pat was born on November 24, 1943, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to Cleo Doreen McGrew and Otis Edward Day. He is survived by his wife Nancy of Portland, Texas, son James Terry of Hutto, daughter Cherise Rook Eric of San Angelo, Kyle Hendricks Jennifer of San Antonio, 6 grandchildren, 2 great-grandchildren, and brother Mark Day Vicky of Austin. He is preceded in death by his first wife Connie. In lieu of flowers, the family requests memorials be made to the Permian Basin Rehabilitation Center and or Operation Finally Home, a program providing mortgage-free homes to wounded, ill, or disabled veterans. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Wells Funeral Home and Crematory. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Gonzalo Guzman Sr. Gonzalo Guzman Sr., 90, of Midland,
met his final journey on earth and went to the Lord on August 13th. He was born to the late Enrique and Isabel Guzman on January 10, 1931, in Nixon, Texas. Gonzalo Sr. is survived by his children, Gonzalo, Gus Guzman Jr., Linda, Agapito, Pete Guzman, Emilia, Jesse Guzman, Sylvia, George Guzman, Diana Guzman, Danny Guzman, Tony Guzman, Letty, his sister Elida Barella, 13 grandchildren, and 19 great-grandchildren. He is preceded in death by his beloved wife Pila of 70 years, three infant sons, Juan Guzman, Baltimore Guzman, Sammy Guzman, parents Mr. and Mrs. Enrique Guzman, three brothers, Agapito Guzman, Enrique Guzman, Domingo Guzman, five sisters, Anita Carrillo, Alviro Santos, Manuela Trevina, Francisca Hernandez, Adelina Guzman, and grandson Christopher Michael Guzman. Viewing will take place Sunday, August 15th and Monday, August 16th from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. The Holy Rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. on Monday, August 16th at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Mass of Christian burial will be held at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church on Tuesday, August 17th at 10 a.m. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Funeral Mass is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Linda K. Lusk. Linda K. Lusk went to join the Lord on August 13th. Born May 8, 1939, in Abilene, Texas, to J.T. and Oletta Darcy, she became a Midland girl at age 10. Linda was preceded in death by her parents, J.T. and Oletta Darcy, and by her brother, David Darcy. She is survived by her loving husband, Doug, son, Jeffrey, and wife, Kathleen, daughter, Suzanne, and husband, John Miles, five grandchildren, one great-grandson, many cousins, friends, and other family that will miss her greatly. Memorial services will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, August 21st at Trinity Baptist Church, officiated by Reverend John Wheat, with interment to be in Rest Haven Cemetery in Midland. Condolences may be sent at www.grimesfuneralchapels.com by selecting the condolences link. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Grimes Funeral Chapels of Kerrville. Marianne Baker. Marianne Baker of Midland passed away surrounded by her loving family on August 12th. Services will be held at 10 a.m. on August 17th at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Marianne was born on June 18, 1963, in Tulia, Texas, to Alex and Julia Vasquez. Marianne is survived by her parents, her husband Ronald Baker, her children Tiffany Daugherty, Shauna Vasquez, and Chas Martinez, five grandchildren. She is also survived by four siblings, Alex Vasquez Jr., Ricky Vasquez, Tony Vasquez, and Esther Garcia, their spouses, and numerous nieces and nephews. She is predeceased by her grandson, Tripp. In lieu of flowers, loving friends and family have generously organized a GoFundMe donation account set up for Marianne's unexpected loss. Donate at GoFundMe/9452CC84. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Wayne Eugene Hudspeth. Wayne Eugene Hudspeth, 61, of Midland, passed away on August 13th. He was born in Midland on June 8, 1960, to P.W. Hudspeth, Jr. and Berna Copeland Willis. Those left to cherish his memory are his children, Natosha Hudspeth, Jocelyn Hudspeth, Elsie Hudspeth, Brandon Bradley, Chloe, five grandchildren, his sister Helen Green, brothers Alvin, Hubert, and Michael Hudspeth, close friend Mr. Shannon Stillwell, and a host of relatives and friends. He was preceded in death by his parents, P.W. and Verna May, sister Patty Williams, brothers Donald Ray Hudspeth and Willie Hubert, and his nephew Michael Williams, Jr. Cremation services have been arranged. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com. Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home is honored to serve the Hudspeth family at this time. Death notices. Aldo Montanez. Aldo Montanez, 42, of Midland, passed away on August 14th at Midland Memorial Hospital. Aldo was born on May 8, 1979, to Guadalupe and Sylvia Valenzuela Montanez in Andrews, Texas. He is survived by his mother, Sylvia Valenzuela Montanez, and one brother. There are no services planned at this time. Berta Santos. Berta Santos, 78, of Midland, passed away August 13th. Visitation was held Monday, August 16th at Nellie Picklin Wells Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held Tuesday at 2 p.m., August 17th at Nellie Picklin Wells Funeral Home Chapel, with interment following at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Wells Funeral Home. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Francis Prieto Jimenez. Francis Prieto Jimenez, 85, passed away August 13th. Rosary and funeral mass will be held Saturday, August 21st in Marfa at St. Mary's Catholic Church, beginning at 10:30 a.m. Burial follows at Merced Cemetery. Survivors are four sons, Frank B. P. Jimenez, Jose A. Jimenez, Oscar P. Jimenez, and Florencio Tony Jimenez, and two sisters. Paul Knott. Paul Knott, 54, of Midland, passed away August 15th. A rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. Friday, August 20th, at Nellie Picklin Wells Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral mass will be held at 12 p.m. Saturday, August 21st, at St. Anne's Catholic Church, with interment following at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Wells Funeral Home. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. William Franklin Sonny Gerard, Jr. William Franklin Sonny Gerard, Jr. passed away Friday, August 13th in Midland. He is survived by two sisters. No services will be held. This article is entitled, P&Z Gives Lone Star Animal Sanctuary Path to Expansion, by Mella McEwen. Future expansion of Lone Star Animal Sanctuary received a path forward at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting on Monday. Barbara French with the sanctuary submitted two requests to the commission. The first request was for a zone change from TH, Townhouse District, in part SF2, Single Family Dwelling District, in part SF3, Single Family Dwelling District, in part MF16, Multiple Family Dwelling District, in part, and PD, Planned District for Housing Development, part, to RR, Regional Retail District. A new zoning ordinance that took effect July 1st no longer allowed the use of kennels within the sanctuary's current zoning. The new zoning also allowed French to request a specific use designation without term for a kennel at the sanctuary, 4200 North Fairgrounds Road. The sanctuary is anticipating expansion in the future, which will be made easier with the new zoning and the designation. Both requests received unanimous approval. Commissioners also unanimously approved a planned cocktail lounge in downtown Midland and a Cajun seafood restaurant and bar. Lee Sanchez received approval of his request for a specific use designation with term for the sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption in a cocktail lounge for his business, Sip House, in the basement of the Bank of America building, 303 West Wall Street, in the former Brew Street location. Proposed hours are 8 a.m. to midnight daily, with alcohol service daily from 11 a.m. to midnight. The planned hook-and-reel Cajun Seafood and Bar to open in the Mesa Verde Shopping Center at 2215 North Midland Drive received approval of its request for a specific use designation with term for the sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption in a restaurant. The 4,774-square-foot restaurant will operate from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily, with alcohol service hours of 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday, and from noon to 5 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. Commissioners also revisited a request by Sean Elphick for the Tailgate Mobile Food Vendor Park at 4401 North Big Spring Street. Elphick had altered the site plan, adding a fire lane, thus requiring consideration by the commissioners. First to receive approval was his request for a specific use designation without term for a mobile food vendor park, which will have parking for 10 mobile food vendors, space for a seating, a bar, and a stage, and operate from 11 a.m. to midnight daily. Next, commissioners approved his request for a specific use designation with term for the sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption in a mobile food vendor park. Elphick stressed to commissioners before the vote that under the designation, he will be the only one allowed to sell alcohol, and that will be at the bar. He also stressed that the individual food vendors are not allowed to sell alcohol. This article is entitled, Basin Gets Vote of Confidence with Infrastructure Plan. The Permian has struggled to cope with some effects of its expansion. By Sergio Chapa, Bloomberg. The region at the heart of the once booming U.S. shale industry is signaling confidence in a nascent recovery after the pandemic crushed demand and curtailed oil and gas drilling. The Permian Basin, which straddles West Texas and New Mexico, has grown over the past decade to produce more oil than Iraq. But it has struggled to cope with some of the effects of its expansion over the past decade. Roads crumbling from a heavy volume of 18-wheelers, a lack of doctors, skyrocketing house prices and rents, and a lack of qualified workers. A coalition of energy companies, along with state and local partners, plans to spend $844 million on roads, education, workforce development, housing, broadband, and healthcare in the region, according to this Permian Strategic Partnership, which assembled the group. The Texas Department of Transportation is providing most of the funds, while companies including Chevron Corporation and Halliburton Company are also kicking in. The move gives some much-needed reassurance over the shale industry's future after a dramatic contraction that came as virus shutdowns curtailed travel and sent the U.S. economy into a tailspin. The Permian, which produces more than a third of the crude oil and over a tenth of the natural gas in the U.S., is showing modest recovery in production and jobs, even as other shale regions flatline. And U.S. oil and gas companies focus on returning capital to investors rather than raising output. Cultivating communities that are attractive to current and prospective employees is a key avenue to ensuring a thriving energy industry, said Tracy Bentley, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Permian Strategic Partnership. Texas's Transportation Department is providing $675 million for roads and related projects, while the state of New Mexico has contributed $13 million, according to figures provided by the partnership. Companies which range from multinationals including Chevron and Royal Dutch Shell to large independents such as EOG Resources and service providers like Halliburton are spending $48.5 million. Voters in Hobbs, New Mexico, approved a bond package that included $15 million that will be added to another $35 million from the partnership and others to launch the Hobbs Career and Technical Education Center.
some $28.5 million will be spent on a Texas Tech University program that will add more physician assistants in the region. About $300,000 will go to SpaceX's Starlink satellite network to provide free and year-round high-speed internet service to students in the Odessa-based Ector County Independent School District. This is the Business and Oil page. This article is entitled "Hopes Fade for Demand Boost" by Barbara Powell and Jeffrey Baer, Bloomberg. The spread of the highly contagious Delta variant of COVID is threatening to put an early end to the U.S. summer driving season and spark a more precipitous downturn than usual in gasoline demand following the Labor Day holiday in early September. Refiners, recovering from the demand destruction that followed the rise of the pandemic in March 2020, have enjoyed weeks of growth as states reopened for business and pleasure, social distancing rules relaxed, and people hit the road on vacation. Gasoline demand reached a record high of more than 10 million barrels a day in early July before falling, then recovering to a robust 9.78 million barrels a day in the weekend of July 30th. On the heels of stronger demand and vaccinations, however, virus positivity rates are accelerating, boosted by the even more virulent Delta variant and an entrenched anti-vaccine sentiment among large swaths of Americans. Mask mandates are reappearing, and return-to-work dates are getting pushed back. In Houston, officials are asking the unvaccinated to stay home. Local hospitals are getting overcrowded, and the school district is weighing a mask mandate for returning students. "No way is this a positive for demand," said Robert Campbell, head of oil products research at London consultancy Energy Aspects Limited. "We definitely expect more weakness in demand than most forecasters had predicted." Energy Aspects has been estimating all along that 2021 summer gasoline use will lag a couple of percentage points behind 2019 levels, tossing out comparisons to summer of 2020 when the pandemic decimated fuel use. Others are coming around. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis for retail tracker Gas Buddy, said he's tempering his outlook for fall gasoline based on recent bearish indications tied to the spread of the Delta variant. Campbell said there's not much evidence so far to suggest that people are holding off summer travel in August. But data from Auto Club AAA show the average retail price of gasoline fell Thursday for the first decline since July 22nd, suggesting the summer peak for the fuel is over. Marathon Petroleum Corporation, the largest U.S. refiner, issued a note of caution about limits of demand improvement this year during its second quarter earnings call Wednesday. "We saw gradual improvements in the demand for our products as the rollout of COVID vaccinations and a removal of mobility restrictions have led to more economic activity and increased demand for transportation fuels," CEO Michael J. Hennigan said. "That said, we're close to the end of the summer driving season, which is typically our strongest part of the year." This article is entitled "Small Bites." Scarborough moves the half acre to build new Midland Meat Company. Wall Street Cochina expanding. Dos Amigos is now a restaurant bar. By J.C. Lewis. The half acre recently moved to North Midland. Now, Midland Meat Company meats can be prepared and enjoyed at the same venue, which will soon have a shaded patio. This is fifth-generation rancher John C. Scarborough's latest investment in the area, but he's not done yet. "Our operation is pasture to plate to retail to restaurant," he said. "We are the whole chain now." The half acre was previously further south on Big Spring Street at 4401 Big Spring. He said when the pandemic hit and the restaurants had to close, but the commercial kitchen was used to prepare food for and sell it at Midland Meat Company. Even though the restaurant was closed to the customer, Scarborough was still using the space at 4401 Big Spring Street to get food to customers. "We didn't lay off anyone during the pandemic," he said. "Between Midland Meat Company and the Half Acre, we're employing 17 people, which means 17 families to me. Even though the Half Acre wasn't open, we sustained as if we were open to make sure to take care of all of our people." The Half Acre acquired Up in Smoke Barbecue, and Scarborough spent a couple of months renovating the space to add indoor dining. The new Half Acre has been open for about 2 months now at 1101 Washita. The hours are limited to 10:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Wednesday through Friday because the demand for catering has been booked every week. He said he doesn't want to stretch the staff. The Half Acre's menu has a variety of options, thanks to Chef John Vandergift, he said. On the other side, pitmaster Aaron Leslie does the barbecue part of the menu. Leslie has won various competitions. "The barbecue is obviously going to be there because we make a lot of beef and people can get brisket and ribs," he said. "But we wanted to open something with variety as well. The menu features street tacos, half-pound burger, and a popular item is the brisket egg roll with cream cheese." Pitmaster Aaron Leslie said he has been cooking barbecue since 2012, started working with Scarborough in 2016, and went full-time with catering and the Half Acre in 2018. "The menu features my wife's cheesy corn, which is the corn with green chilies, cream cheese, and butter. Potato salad is my grandmother's German-style potato salad. The green beans I have been cooking with bacon, onion, and jalapeno for about 25 years, Leslie said. "I used to make the Hatch green chili mac and cheese when I was catering and brought it to this menu." The brisket egg rolls came about because Leslie and Vandergift were trying to figure out a good grab-and-go option for lunch. "When we were framing in the building, we thought we would sit in the kitchen and get it ready and then start making stuff for the store," he said. "We did pre-cooked meats, vegetables, and sides. John came in one day and grabbed all the stuff to play with creating a grab-and-go option. I bet he made about 20 different versions of that egg roll, trying to create the right amount of crunch and chew without it being soggy. We ate egg rolls for 2 or 3 days. Scarborough said he has plans for the area around the Half Acre, which has his office building on already. "The first thing is to build a nicer patio for the Half Acre. I fenced this area up here in North Midland," he said. "I would like to do some type of event center or a nice outdoor area for gathering." Now the Half Acre's patio will be on the east side and will be covered. Along with Scarborough's plans for the North Midland property is the start of construction on the new Midland Meat Company, which will be a state-of-the-art 5,000-square-foot shop behind the existing 1,600-square-foot building on Big Spring Street. Scarborough said he plans to have it done before Christmas. "I would never have thought we could move so much beef through there as we do. But Midland and the surrounding communities have been so great to us with supporting our products." Scarborough Ranch started an Angus line last year. He said they have always run the Wagyu cattle through the meat company. "We will have another line of beef, and it will be a slightly cheaper product," he said. "It will still be a great quality and all natural." He added the line because he couldn't keep up with the demand for brisket, which they ship out to 50 states. "The brisket is an item the Half Acre sells out routinely." The Half Acre was partially started to help use all of the meat products from an animal. "We're getting 100% of our beef animal from the tongue to the oxtail. Every single cut in between is used," he said. "That's rewarding as a rancher." "The last 18 months have been pretty brutal," he said. "The cattle industry never stopped through all of that. On top of the pandemic, though, there was a drought for us." He said the wet June was really a lifesaver for the ranching side of the operation because of the drought. The feed has been extremely high because of the corn prices, which is causing the price of beef to go up as well. There have been shortages in big supermarkets because the demand is still there, but getting the meat out is slower right now. Midland Meat Company uses two family-owned meat processor businesses that never shut down during the pandemic, he said. They're on a smaller scale, so we were able to get all of our products to us. He feels drawn to North Midland after witnessing the growth in the area over the past couple of years. We are going to continue to grow where we feel it's needed, he said. One of the reasons we are up here in North Midland is because there have been around 12,000 new homes built north of the Loop in the past 6 years. There are a few places in the area, but he said he feels like there are a lot of people in the area that are hungry for something and want more options in that surrounding area. The half acre will eventually expand their hours during the school year so families can enjoy the establishment, he said. I would like to be open on Saturdays so kids can come, he said. I want to serve the families because they are the people that hold this community together. The Bites. Odessa will soon be getting a Wall Street Cucina. The local Midland eatery is expanding to the Music City Mall in Odessa. The Fuel Bar will be celebrating its second anniversary at 610 North Big Spring Street, Suite B. For updates about the anniversary, visit facebook.com/thefuelbarmidland for posts. The Fuel Bar serves the best ingredients in specialty coffee, smoothies, cold-pressed juices, and grab-and-go lunch options. The next vinyl brunch at the Marriott will be from 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. August 8th. Dos Amigos is now a restaurant and bar, open from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Sunday. Menu items include tomahawk steaks, prosciutto and arugula pizza, hangover burger, chicken, fried steak, bottle caps, poo-poo platter, hot wings, and more. The restaurant also has a kids' menu of nuggets, kids' pizza, mac and cheese, quesadilla, and Little Britches burger.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.